Steve, Wendy does not want you to announce the wind chill.
We can't have wind chill yet, for God's sake.
Can you hold off on the wind chill for a few days, please?
I usually wait until it hits zero or more, but, you know, just to get started, it's nice to know where we are.
You upset Wendy greatly by the announcement of today's wind chill.
Sorry, Wendy, but it's 12.
Yeah, it's too cold. It's just too cold.
You know it's cold when you have a newer car. I have a new Subaru Outback, and there's a little picture of snow. Which means it's below 32, is it? Is that freezing?
That's really?
Freezing.
I know it's cold when I walk outside and it's cold.
I need a monitor to tell me stuff.
The one that always gets me is, and we're not there yet, is when you go outside and you just start to cry. It's so cold that your face goes, I can't. I'm going to cry.
I did use my remote start yesterday.
Yes.
I have to get one installed. I kept putting it off, and now I regret it.
Would you agree with me that of all the things you've ever spent money on in the past, that would be at the top of the list of money well spent? A remote starter is a miracle.
It's pretty great.
Oh.
I start my car from the bathroom every morning. All right, I got to get that installed.
Well, I answer my emails from the bathroom every morning.
I'm getting ready in the morning, and I just stick, I aim it towards the garage and start it up.
I decorate my Christmas tree every morning.
I so have to get that installed today. Shut up, Steve. Let's start over.
Wendy, twice now since we talked about that, and for people who don't know, Wendy has a Christmas tree. Not a full-size tree, but
it's a Christmas tree
in her bathroom.
Foot long. I mean, it's a foot high. It's silver. It's just for decorations. It's not...
Twice since you brought that up, and you've told us the story in the past, but for some reason this year it really resonated with me. Twice now, while I'm in the bathroom, I look around to see where my Christmas tree would go if
on
I did have
the back of the toilet tank. Listen, it's just in the powder room. It's there because I host Thanksgiving every year.
Yeah.
And people who use the bathroom, I feel, should have some decorations in there.
Do you put little gifts under it, like travel toothpaste? Or
you're supposed to leave a gift under it.
Well, that's...
speechless.
There were words.
All right, here's a serious question. Everybody put on your serious hat for just a second, because this is a serious question. Surprised or not surprised about Eddie Johnson's decision to retire?
I am shocked.
Are you shocked? Why?
Because he hasn't been doing it so long. He seemed like he was really doing everything in his effort to change things here.
Mm-hmm.
And I just find it, he had the health issues.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been a time maybe to do it. He's gone past all that. It really surprises me.
Well, there are a number of issues that have happened. I mean, obviously he had the health ordeal, or where he was sleeping in his squad car, which is under investigation. That might have accelerated things. It's a tough job, we were talking in here, it was kind of surprising. It wouldn't have been unlikely for Lori Lightfoot to bring in her own person when she was inaugurated.
Steve, that's what surprised me the most is because there were indications that there was a good chance of that happening, and it didn't happen. And then when it didn't happen, I went, well, he's obviously gelling with her. She likes him. He's probably going to be there a long time.
When the president took him on last week, she issued a full-throated support statement for him. So, I think that... they had a good relationship. In fact, she'll be there today for the announcement. We're going to carry it here in about 35 minutes.
Who makes, Steve, when something like that is done, and I know every situation is different, but who makes that call? Does Lori Lightfoot say, okay, I know he's retiring, he's going to announce that today, I really should be there as some sort of a buffer? Who makes that call?
Not a buffer, probably just to show that he's doing it on his own, that it was her, that it was his choice, she wasn't forcing him out in any way.
All right. Steve, thank you. Appreciate that. I am so in the middle on this. I'm surprised to hear the words that he's retiring, because I really felt, even though the last couple of weeks or months have been trying for him, the whole time he's had the job has been trying for him. It's a tough job. It's a very tough job.
Well, it does make me feel like it's related to this slumped over thing.
I do, too.
Because prior to this, it's a tough job, but he had all those obstacles to overcome in the past. That seemed like the hardest stuff.
Right.
And it was smooth sailing, and I don't know. I like him genuinely so much. I heard he and his son on with Steve Cochran. Just great guys.
Ago.
Yeah.
His story is such an interesting one. The fact that he grew up here and went up through the ranks and didn't want the job originally. They had to convince him to take the job. That's an interesting twist to the whole thing. But just hearing the words that he was going to, finally hang it up, that was a little bit of a jolt. But at the same time, I've kind of expected it the last couple of weeks. especially, we all keep going back to that same incident, the asleep in the car incident. Who knows what's going on there?
Yeah, but if it's nothing, then you don't, you know, why would you retire? It makes you think. That's all I'm saying. I don't know the truth behind it.
Yes.
I tend to believe him.
Yes.
And like I said, he seemed like he really had his heart into this job.
No
worked
question
his way
about
up.
It.
Mm.
Now, the second part of this conversation is the possible replacement for him. Wendy, I would like to say that with all the community service work that you have done with the police in your area.
My neighborhood watch stuff.
I imagine your name will be thrown around a little bit to possibly succeed Eddie Johnson as Chicago police chief.
Wouldn't it be fun if I had Lori Lightfoot's cell phone and during the press conference today I could just text her?
Right. I'm open. Yeah. I'm open.
That
I want
would
the
be
job.
Great. She, you know, maybe she forgot to turn her ringer off and right in the middle of the coverage.
Yes. Is it one of those jobs, every once in a while you look at a job and you go, why would anyone want that job? And he was in that, Eddie Johnson was in that bracket. We've told you the story. He had to be convinced to take the job for former Mayor Emanuel. So is this one of the jobs, being in charge of the Chicago Police Department, that you consider to be a thankless job or not?
There's no way I'd take this. The
too
presidential job. Who would want to be president? Who would want to be mayor?
Yeah.
Who's the former police superintendent who I always said sounded like Cliff Clavin?
Gary McCarthy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, you know, he got pushed out.
I liked him, too.
I did, too. I like, though, that it's someone local. I know we have an interim police superintendent, allegedly, not confirmed 100%, coming from Los Angeles.
Right.
But I like the born and bred local angle.
You would think no one would know the area, no one would know the job better than somebody local. I mean, it would certainly make sense, and, you know, in Eddie Johnson's case, it did make sense to have somebody local. I think if you're casting for that role, you have to spread a wide blanket out and look at anybody. The guy in Los Angeles has done the job before, similar job in Los Angeles, so there's some experience points on his side.
But don't you feel like you're more invested if you're from here originally and still a part of this?
No question about it.
Fiber of the city?
No question about it.
Someone is saying, 630, I'm surprised he's leaving before being fully vested in his superintendent pension, which would happen in April of 2020, so that's interesting as well.
Well, that's interesting because that's not far off at all. If it was a couple of years away, you go, well, I get it. It's 2 years, 3 years away. But if it's just 4 months away, 5 months away, that's way too close.
Will we find out more information about this slumped over thing?
I swear to you, as I heard the word that he was retiring early this morning, that was my first thought was, when do we find out more information about that? Because I have a feeling there's something out there that we don't know quite yet. Don't you?
It sure seems like it, if going to April will get him fully vested.
Yeah.
And now it's like after this news that came out, I'm anxious to hear the press conference. I'm glad we're covering it.
We will cover it live at, what time are they running?
10:45.
All right, so we'll have that on. And then all kinds of other things on today's show. We're thrilled that you're listening. Stick around. More ahead, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Veterans Day is Monday. And we will be talking to the youngest living Medal of Honor recipient, Kyle Carpenter. He has a new book out, You Are Worth It. Mm-hmm. I Believe I Am.
Mm-hmm.
So I will read it.
It's the book with a mirror on the cover. So you can look at yourself and go, yeah, I'm worth it. Please.
Speaking of you and being worth it, I heeded your advice and I watched Living With Yourself last night.
This is the Paul Rudd show where he plays himself and himself.
Yes.
He's two different characters. I don't want to go into detail. What
right.
did you think?
I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
He is doing... I love Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd is so unbelievably likable.
He makes it impossible to not like him, right? Could anyone ever look at the work of Paul Rudd or just Paul Rudd and go, yeah, it's not for me. Thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, no
He's
one would say
likeable. That. Too likable.
And he does a great job acting in this.
Mm-hmm.
When he plays himself and himself, one is a better looking himself.
Right.
He can schlub himself up pretty well.
Yes, he can.
The only thing that I did that I am so frustrated with, watching on Netflix, I clicked Watch Now, and I loved it, and I liked the next episode, and I'm like, I'm going to go one more. I'm going to go three episodes, and as I look at the title, it says episode four.
Oh, you've missed an episode.
I missed the beginning one.
Oh.
Isn't that ridiculous of me?
it is because they set up the whole premise, the whole gimmick of the show is in that first episode. I would urge you to go back.
I did. I went back and then it made more sense to me, but I picked it up with episode 2 and I was like, I have a lot of unanswered questions, but I could still follow the concept.
Right.
And then I filled in the blank by watching it backwards. So I watched 2, 3, 4, 1. And then 5, 6, and I think I have 3 left. I binged like crazy.
To your credit, that's kind of how the Godfather movies are. You know, when you see Godfather 2, you go back and you see the early days of Vito Corleone. So you, very much like Francis Ford Coppola, decided to see the story out of order. Maybe it's better that way.
I cursed myself after doing that. I don't know what happened. You know, you start from the beginning.
Right.
I must have watched like the first 10 seconds of the very first one, and then I hit like next episode or something, and then it screwed me.
Yeah. You know what I don't like about Netflix? I like almost everything about Netflix, but here's something that bothers me. See if you notice this. If you do binge watch a show, at the end of an episode, it only shows you like 3 seconds of the credits, and then the new episode starts. And I know...
Well, there's a button. You can say skip to next episode or watch credits.
Mine just automatically kicks into the next episode. I don't know if there's a tab somewhere where I can prevent that. I like seeing the credits because I want to see... Like, every once in a while, there'll be a guest star. I'm like, I know that guy. Who's that guy? I want to find out who that guy is.
I just Google it.
Oh, I guess you could do that,
because I couldn't figure out where I knew his sister, his half-sister from Arrested Development.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And her name didn't really help, so I had to Google it anyway.
Yeah, find out who.
So I watch and Google all the day.
You just became a folk song right before our very eyes. That was amazing. How did you do that?
But it's a really, really good show, and I highly recommend it.
Very original. Premise isn't something we've ever seen before.
And then as I'm watching it, and when I went back to the first episode and saw them set things up, I thought, God, are there creative people out there to come up with these ideas?
Sure.
Because I often say to you, has Hollywood run out of ideas because they keep just rebooting things?
Sure, right.
It's pretty incredible that people still have ideas.
Yeah. And it's tricky because you want to say more about what it's about, but it should be up to whoever's experiencing the show. But highly recommended from both of us, and it's called Living With Yourself, and it's on Netflix. You have 2 options. You can start with episode 1.
Do that, people. Can you? I was so mad at myself. And then I was almost to the point where I'm like, well, I just screwed myself here.
It's better. Like, I'm in my head thinking of certain things that wouldn't make sense to you if you didn't see how the show starts. There's a couple of things that if you don't see that first episode, they're not going to make any sense at all.
Well, it didn't really make sense, but then I kind of just rolled with it because I thought, because they do a lot of like kind of going back in time a little bit.
Right.
I almost blew the lid off of something big, but it just was confusing to me. But I thought, you know what? They're going
they know
to
what
explain
they're doing.
It to
right.
me at some yep. point. But no, please, don't do what I do. Do what I say.
Right.
And watch it in order.
Episode 1 first, and then 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8.
I almost like said, I've ruined it. I can't watch this now.
No.
But
don't
just
quit
start
on
from
it.
1.
Don't quit on it. Can I wish a get well to Jasmine, our producer, who has walking pneumonia. It was determined.
And the boogie woogie flu?
She does not have that. Thankfully, she took the vaccination for the boogie woogie flu.
She has walking pneumonia.
She has walking pneumonia, which begs the question, what exactly is the difference between your regular pneumonia and your walking pneumonia?
Walking pneumonia is just what it is. You can
function?
Yeah, the other one is you're bedridden. Yeah. It's bad.
Who determines if your pneumonia is of the walking variety or of the traditional?
Who do you
variety?
Think?
I'm hoping a doctor, physician.
Yes, ding, ding, and ding.
I didn't know that because I skipped episode 1.
Do I just come here to give you and Bertrand material?
What did I do today?
Nothing really.
Thank
although
you,
you
very
did
much.
Mention
the day is young.
My bathroom tree, which a listener texted in and said, would that be a toilet tree?
Oh,
damn, I didn't think of that.
Yeah, you guys should feel bad.
That's terrible.
Stunning.
No, it's awesome. If it invokes a groan from someone, that means it's good.
Is that a true thing?
I don't know.
So a groan is good. All right. That's interesting. Well, anyway, I hope Jasmine is well. And Steve, you know, because you're in that newsroom. for some reason, the newsroom has created this weird bug where everyone's just getting sick. I don't know if Jasmine was in the newsroom or not, but everyone I know who's, except for you, Steve, everyone I know who's spent any time in the newsroom is sickly.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know why. Usually I fall first.
Yeah.
Well, I am starting to fall because it's that old telltale sign. Remember when you were a little kid and you swam too much and maybe you snorted up some chlorinated water in your nose?
Yes.
And you felt like you have chlorine in your nose?
Yes.
That's what I got going right now, which usually is the precursor to a cold.
But you've not been swimming. This is just from just experiencing life? What happened?
No, I'm just trying to tell you that's what the feeling is like.
Oh.
And that usually means a cold is coming.
Yeah.
And I went to get a new furnace filter yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to tell you how much I love Jimmy Mac.
Mm-hmm.
Because I spent...
We all do, by the way.
I spent the extra money to get the upgraded version of the filter.
Mm, rich people.
Well, he has some asthmatic issues, so I thought if I could, he has asthma, so
yeah.
I thought, you know, if we can help with the first level takes some of the dust out of the air, then
mm-hmm.
the second level is pet dander and smoke. And I said to the guy, no one smokes in their house anymore, so
right.
you can eliminate this. But the top of the line eliminates everything.
And you went with that one.
Yes, I did, because it was an extra like $8, and I thought he was worth it.
To go from a regular to the top of the line, the difference is only $8?
It might have been a little. Yeah, from 18 to about 23.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, but they're only supposed to last a month.
Three months.
Oh, 3 months.
If you get the top of the line, you have to change it every 3 months.
I wonder how many. I'm terrible at that.
I am too.
I bet people keep them for years, I bet.
Oh, God, you can't.
Right?
And,
no?
And that's what I think is happening with my chlorine nose right now. I feel when I switched from air conditioning into the heat.
Yes.
I may not have changed the filter because the 3 months wasn't up.
Oh.
But I think you should change it.
Oh, yeah.
When you go from AC to heat.
Yes.
So I think there's some dust and dander and other stuff
yep.
going around.
I wouldn't be shocked. Feel better, Jasmine, by the way. We'll take a break. We'll get you some news. And then there's a lot of show. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And Veterans Day is this Monday. And today in studio, we are about to salute a true hero. He is the youngest living Medal of Honor recipient. His name is Kyle Carpenter, and he is with us right now. Kyle, thank you so much for coming up.
Oh, I appreciate you having me. Thank you so much.
Your book is called You Are Worth It. Your story is so unbelievable. I was reading about you in Afghanistan. You're a Marine. I'll let you tell the story, but you are such a hero.
Thank you so much. That means a lot. And yes, you know, a defining part of my journey is what happened on the roof that day. But before I get into that, I just want to tell people, you know, I think because that is such a defining moment and a point of focus, that I think a lot of people might not necessarily be discouraged, but they might not be jumping to read this because they think it's just about a book that only someone in the military or that had been to combat can understand.
Yeah.
But, you know, I got injured going on 10 years ago now. And so it's been an evolution of, you know, things that happened that at the time were just experiences in that moment, good, bad, you know, painful. But now with many years of self-reflection, deep thought and healing has turned into perspective. So very little of the book actually is about military combat. It's more a book of how to get through struggle.
And how to be our best selves.
Absolutely. And to show people that, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally, you might be different when you get knocked down in life and when you come back, but you truly can come back better and stronger than you were before whatever knocked you down. You know, but as far as the incident, my injury, it was November 21st, 2010. Myself and my fellow Marines, I was with 2nd Battalion, 9th Marines in Marja, Afghanistan. Every single day for the 4 months that I made it through our 7-month deployment until I was injured, from sunup to sundown was a vicious fight for survival. Every morning, our alarm clock was our base getting attacked with AK-47s. And it was never a matter of, oh, I wonder if we're going to get shot at today. It was just, you know, when. And so myself and a fellow Marine, just one Marine, a best friend of mine, Nick Euphrasio, we were on a roof together, and we were on what people would think of as a lookout or standing guard. And we're on this elevated position on this roof looking out for the Marines inside the compound who might be resting or eating, cleaning their weapons. And the enemy, just like every day, initiated a daylight attack. Now everything I'm about to go through was based off a very extensive 2-year and over 250-page investigation done by the Marine Corps and Department of Defense, and eyewitness testimonies, and even they brought in a post-blast analysis team to look at the hole in the roof that you can actually still look up on Google Earth, that, you know, my body weight with my body armor sandwiching that grenade between the roof. The roof was weaker, so like with anything, things take the path of least resistance, and sure. So it blew down through the roof. So with all that said, the attack was initiated. 3 grenades were thrown before. I do not remember any of those. Excuse me. The 4th grenade was thrown and landed in very close proximity to myself and Nick on the roof. I do not remember seeing the grenade or thinking about it. But from all of the evidence and the investigation, it was concluded that I covered the grenade that was thrown at us to try to shield and protect my fellow Marine.
Did you even think about it, or did you just react like, there's my buddy, I got to do something here?
You know, unfortunately, I don't remember. And I used to beat myself up about that, but I realized how wrong that was, and that, you know, after being unconscious for 5 weeks, jeez, dying 3 times, I evolved my thinking into just being thankful that I woke up, period. And it's very understandable that after laying on top of a hand grenade that I might not remember those moments. But, you know, with that said, I don't remember. But, you know, if I had to guess, and I know that this guess is accurate, the love and respect I had for my fellow Marine, along with, from the moment as recruits at the time, but as Marines, that we step on those yellow footprints at boot camp, it has ingrained us every single day, the stories and generations of courageous, heroic, superhuman Marines that have come before us and paved the way. You know, those Marines that at 17, 18, 19 years old were told, hey, you're probably not even going to make it out of the landing craft to try to land on those beaches of World War II. And they did it anyway and put their boots in the sand and charged forward. The Marines that covered grenades for their fellow Marines in Vietnam. So even though I don't remember, I'm thankful and I'm proud that I stepped up as a friend and as a Marine that I needed to in that moment, and hopefully in a way that the Marines that are still with us from those generations and those who are looking down on us, proud.
The word thank you sounds so weak to say to you, but thank you for your service. Thank
you're,
all
you're
those
worth
men
it.
And women. Oh, you're so sweet. I just want to jump in and say that Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson will be retiring. There is a press conference with Mayor Lori Lightfoot, and we are going to go live to that at any moment. So I just want to make sure we get the name of your book out. There are just stories in it, just how to be the best self you can be with this limited amount of time we have on Earth. You Are Worth It is the name of the book. It's available everywhere, correct?
And I read the audiobook.
Oh, excellent.
Oh, so that's really?
A nice personal touch. One of the hardest things, actually, I've ever done. Very, very mentally challenging, but I'm thankful I did it, and the feedback's been great, and I think people like hearing my story from me.
When you tell the story of your life, when anyone tells a story of their life, you're visiting some moments, some good, some not so good. Was that difficult to revisit some key moments in your life?
No. Again, no? You know, I'm just so thankful and grateful that I woke up. And also, you know, those challenging and very difficult and sometimes long and painful moments and nights, you know, those times in life teach us the most beautiful of lessons. And, you know, it's still crazy and surreal for me to look back and even hear my own story sure. now 9 years later. But, you know, a really interesting aspect of this book that I didn't really expect going into it is, you know, I was not only unconscious for 5 weeks, but I went through 3 combat trauma hospitals, Germany, you know, multiple flight medic crews, the medevac that picked me up, and these people that put their hands on me and resuscitated life back into me. You know, through this process, I learned about parts of my journey and my life, 5 weeks of it, if not more, that, you know, have always been a blank and that I might have never had filled in if I wouldn't have undertaken this project. So the book turned out even more beautifully than I could have hoped for or expected. And I'm just so thankful that my story, my fellow Marines, my family, and all those people that helped me get to where I am today and helped me, you know, rebuild this bonus round that I'm living. I'm just thankful that I could write this story, give them the thank you they deserve, and have this story forever.
God, you make me want to cry. You make me want to hug you. You make me want to jump for joy.
We can do all that.
What options, Kyle?
You're amazing. He's Kyle Carpenter. And some of your credos, don't hide your scars. Call your mom. I am a mom. I love hearing that. This book, You Are Worth It. I think it should be required school reading for Veterans Day, which is Monday. I know some schools, we used to have it off when we were growing up.
Right.
Now my kids' high school and many others have a Veterans Day program because you all need to be saluted. I am so proud of you. Really, you make me want to cry and I want to kiss you.
Oh, thank you so much. And I truly appreciate that.
Thanks, Kyle, so much. Kyle Carpenter, everybody.
The youngest living Medal of Honor recipient, and specifically the second living Marine since the Vietnam War and the youngest to be decorated with this prestigious Medal of Honor. How proud must you be?
It was that ceremony and the medal, it was a proud moment for all Marines. And, you know, it's a beautiful burden. It's very heavy. And I think I'll spend the rest of my life trying to comprehend the gravity and the weight of it. But as heavy as it is sometimes, I'm just so thankful, humbled, and appreciative that I was recognized by my country and told thank you. And you know that I had the opportunity to serve and sacrifice as a United States Marine. And, you know, again, to have that medal draped around my neck, that was for all Marines. So I'm thankful for that.
What an inspiration.
So much. Wow.
Semper Fi.
Wow.
Semper Fi.
Unbelievable. His name is Kyle Carpenter. Please check out his website. It's WilliamKyleCarpenter.com.
Yes, ma'am.
And you can find him on Twitter, Instagram, all social media, Facebook as well. But definitely Google him. He's Kyle Carpenter. He's a hero, and his book is You Are Worth It. Thank you so much.
Instagram and Twitter, Chicks Dig Scars.
Oh, and they do. God love you and God bless. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having
me.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We're going to take a quick break, and then we will be covering the press conference from Mayor Lori Lightfoot involving Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson. And I guess we go live to the newsroom right now.
Well, we're waiting, Wendy. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
They gave us a 2-minute warning about 5 minutes ago, so I expect them to begin any time here.
We can.
They did not want to interrupt Kyle. They knew better.
Right.
I didn't want to interrupt Kyle.
No. What a story.
I know.
It's so inspirational. Shall we take a break, and then if we need to come out of it, we can?
Okay, sure.
All right. It's WGN Radio. Keep it right here. It's WGN Radio, and something that we should have mentioned, and I'm sorry, I just found out. Kyle Carpenter, again, the book is called You Are Worth It, and he has a book signing. Is it today? Today from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. at Moe's Cantina, 155 West Kinsey. That's Moe's Cantina, a book signing from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. And the 2019 Chicago Marine Corps birthday celebration is happening on Friday. Everyone is invited, and you are going to be there as well, Kyle. Did you know that?
Oh, I knew that.
Oh, you didn't know? Okay.
I'm a veteran of it, so I'm excited.
And Chicago Marine Marines Foundation.org. That's for more information on that.
Yep.
Again, thank you, and we are standing by for the press conference. I see that Eddie Johnson...
you might be looking at some B-roll, but we expect the superintendent to be joined by Mayor Lightfoot here in just a moment or two. They were expected to be walking up to announce the superintendent's retirement, and something that he said he has been toying with for the past several days, and before they even went into the Bears game in London, he said, you know, this is time that I should be spending with my family that I have not been doing. Of course, that's what the superintendent is saying. There also was the incident that is being investigated where he was found asleep behind the wheel of his car early one morning not too long ago. The superintendent leaves after almost 4 years on the job and with success to point to when it comes to bringing crime numbers down in the city of Chicago. Although President Trump saw things a different way and actually said the city would never improve until the superintendent was to leave his job. So a number of different versions of the story. We're going to go live now to Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson as he announces his retirement.
Something else that's going on Sunday, would that by any chance be a Bears game? We go live to Jarrett Payton right now, sports anchor for WGN-TV. And what can we expect? Is it over? What's going on, Jarrett? Please help us.
Oh, man, Wendy, I feel like we have this conversation since the season started, trying to figure out what's going on. Listen, there's a lot of question marks with this Bears squad, and the hardest thing to do being a former athlete is when you have a losing streak, and the Bears are on a four-game losing streak, it's hard to find some positive things that you can look at and kind of take and gauge from and to move forward, especially in the pros, man. The media, like myself, are always picking at the bad things, so you know, it's really is trying to kind of not listen to the outside noise, but it's hard right now. Matt Nagy, Mitchell Trubisky, these guys are hearing what people are saying, and they're trying to figure out a way to be able to turn this thing around. They're tired of losing and being there in Philly. I heard it in their voices after the game. I walked into that locker room, and you could see the pressure that was on their faces. So they got to figure out how to get a win this weekend against a Detroit team that comes into town.
Jared, let's go higher up than just the quarterback and the coach. If you're the owners of the Bears right now and you're behind closed doors, what sort of a discussion are you having? There's eight games left. The Bears realistically have to win 10 out of those eight games to make the playoffs. So what are the owners saying and doing behind closed doors?
I think let's just go to the Ryan Pace, the GM. Let's go to that level. I don't know what the McCaskies are thinking, but I know with Pace, I think he really wants to see, you know, in these last couple games of, you know, the second half of what Mitchell Trubisky can do. A lot of people are calling for a Chase Daniel replacement. Listen, folks, that's not a long-term solution. That's putting a Band-Aid on the situation. What you have invested in Mitchell Trubisky right now, I know a lot of Bears fans out there probably listening are like, well, we've seen what we need to see already from number 10. Well,
yeah.
I think for this organization, they're going to have to kind of figure it out. I think that's probably the number one conversation going on is seeing how he plays out the rest of the season.
This is a strange story, Jared, and I'm not sure if you're aware of this or not, but I used to gamble quite a bit, and there's a website, sportsbook.com, that announced yesterday that for anybody that put down a bet on Mitchell Trubisky to win the MVP award, they will now refund your money. They feel so guilty about anybody who put down 100-to-1 odds, by the way, 100-to-1 odds. So they say, come, we're going to give you your money back. That's how badly we feel. That has never happened in the world of gambling before, ever, Jared, ever.
I don't gamble, so I didn't hear about that. I didn't even read it yet. So, but a lot of pressure is on that young man. I still, if you get a chance to know him, a lot of Bears fans don't get a chance to see the other side of him as a person. The dude is a really good kid. He works really hard. Things aren't bouncing his way right now. And you can see that the frustration on him, he wants to be better. He knows he has to be better. But where he was selected in the draft when the Bears selected him, I think is that's what everybody sees, that because he was selected there, that he should be better where he's at. If you watch his film, you knew he was going to be a project from the beginning and that it was going to take time.
right now, it just doesn't coincide with the good defense that this Bears team has right now to what where he should be offensively in Matt Nagy's offense as well. So I feel sorry for him, but I know he's going to keep working. And I just hope that this pressure, and everybody's been talking about it from yesterday, the pressure, he's hearing the pressure from the outside, from the TVs, the radio. So he's got to find a way to block that out and have a strong showing in this second half of the season. That's going to come up against Detroit this weekend.
Even though the TVs have been turned off, they're still getting the pressure. We have less than a minute here. Jarrett, what can we look forward to on Sunday, if anything?
On Sunday, I think it's going to be one of those games where I think you see, hopefully, he's going to be able to be aggressive at throwing the football. Matt Nagy, I feel like, is going to do that. Hopefully, this is the week that we actually see balance in this Bears offense. If they can do that, stay on the field, and sustain drives, hopefully it will give that defense an opportunity to get after Matthew Stafford and hopefully cross some turnovers and also maybe put some points on the board as well. I think this is going to be a win for the Bears this weekend, but it's not going to come easy.
Thank you, Jarrett. We'll be watching.
No problem, guys. Take care.
Some of us will be watching.
All right, well, I will be.
Yeah.
But as a consolation prize for all the listeners who watch the Bears, unlike Bill, you're ineligible for this. We have a pair of tickets to see Casey and the Sunshine Band. That's the way, I like it. They're going to perform live on, we're running late on time,
sure.
So I had to make that quicker.
It worked.
Live in action Saturday, December 28th, right after Christmas at Silver Creek Event Center, Four Winds, New Buffalo. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com. And get ready to get down tonight. Four Winds Casino, your entertainment.
This room isn't well ventilated, is it?
Four Winds Casino, let's do caller 4, 312-981-7200. Caller 4, 312-981-7200. You're off to see Casey and the Sunshine Band. Congratulations to Jason from Mendota. He is going to put on his my boogie shoes and go to see Casey and the Sunshine Band. They're going to be live in action Saturday, December 28th, Silver Creek Event Center at Four Winds New Buffalo. You can get your tickets now at Ticketmaster.com and get ready to get down tonight or that night. Four Winds Casino, your entertainment escape. We have another chance to win tomorrow on a Friday. But right now at 11:31, it is news time on WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points.
He's Dean. We love our Dean.
Oh, they don't make him any better than Dean Richards, Dean. You know that, right?
Aren't you sweet?
I mean it. I'm not just saying it. I mean every word of it.
And Dean. Nice to hear my Schwanee on your
Yes.
Trip. Yeah.
Hey, Dean.
And I feel like I own him, so that's why I do call him my Schwanee.
My Schwanona.
Schwanee, my Schwanee. Hey, Schwanee, you getting ready for tree time on Sunday?
I'm ready to go, yes.
Now, last year, Dean, you almost killed Dave Schwann. You came very within inches of killing him.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that.
No?
No, I think
I thought I was going to the firing squad last year.
I thought it was a beautiful feat of archery mastery. I had no fear whatsoever that I might murder you.
Right.
You didn't have fear.
But I did shoot an apple off of Schwanee's head with a bow and arrow last year.
What inspired that? How did you come up with that idea?
I don't remember.
It just happened. It just, organically. You
know, nothing says Christmas like shooting an apple off of Dave Schwann's head.
On a radio show on top of it.
That's how you know Christmas is coming. When that happens, you go, it's Christmas time.
Right. But we had some archery experts out there. And then, I remember what it was. I had just come back from...
Robin Hood, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. They have some interviews in Scotland, and they set up this demonstration for us of archery, and it turns out I was actually pretty good at it.
Yeah.
Here's a great idea for this year, since chestnuts really do say Christmas, maybe you can shoot a chestnut off his head.
Do that, Dean.
Oh, that's a good idea.
That's more of a challenge.
What do you think?
Well, the objects are getting smaller and smaller now, from an apple now to a chestnut.
Yeah, that's good. I can go get my vision checked between now and then, just to make sure everything's okay.
You got
to
give the people what they want to see, though, Dean. You know that.
People love
archery.
Yes.
People
Yep.
If more people walked around with bows and arrows instead of guns,
better world.
This would be a much better world.
Yep, there's no doubt about that.
In which to live. But we've got all kinds of lots of great entertainment. And Schwandy, what are you looking forward to most at this year's broadcast?
The food.
Yeah? Who do you have?
A very different type of food.
We were talking on the show a couple of weeks ago about how much of the world depends on bugs and insects.
Yep.
For nutrition. Mm-hmm. They're very, very nutritious, very healthy. So I said, wouldn't it be fun if, in addition to the food that we serve to the listeners, wouldn't it be fun if we had some worm larva and beetles and grasshoppers?
Yeah.
And to try, to enjoy the
snack on.
Yeah, just for some snacking.
Mm-hmm.
So the big feature of the show, come for tree time. They are giving 15% off everything while we're doing the show.
Mm-hmm.
But really, the best part of the show is going to be when we eat disgusting things.
You want people to come, right?
People will want to watch us eat it.
So they don't have to eat it. The people who come to see you don't have to eat bugs.
No, but
you guys
think,
are going to eat bugs.
I think a lot of people are going to be lined up for some grasshoppers. Grasshopper?
I wouldn't be shocked at all.
We have, Shawnee, this is what else we have. I don't want to make you hungry right before lunchtime. But we also, in addition to all the bugs, we also have some haggis.
Oh.
That we're going to be serving.
Yeah.
We were talking about that on Sunday.
Yeah. Haggis is delicious. I've had haggis before. It's
a
delicious.
Scottish delicacy.
It is.
Yeah.
And each year in Huntley, Illinois, they have what they call the Turkey Testicle Festival.
I've had those. And those are good.
Yeah, we're going to be eating.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They taste kind of like a chicken liver, chicken liver or turkey
That's
liver.
That's what we've been told.
Yeah, they're good.
But when you think about where they've been.
I don't care.
You don't even. You don't? No. All right.
I'm a girl.
You probably enjoy seeing them getting cut off.
Yeah, maybe. I found some in my purse.
Hello. Sorry, Jimmy Mac.
Wow. Yeah,
so they are pretty good, though.
Yeah, so this is going to be, I'm pretty sure this is the only show ever in the history of WGN where testicles will be eaten and grasshoppers and bugs all in front of a live audience where you can also buy Christmas
trees. Merry Christmas,
right,
one and all.
You got everything going. Yeah, oh, that's fun.
You're all in one show.
That's so much fun. Dean, we'll take a quick break, and then when we return, you'll tell us what new movies are coming out. And then I heard you report on a story on Steve Cochran's show that I find fascinating. I just want you to give a little overview on one of the stories from earlier this morning. Is that okay?
I'll see if I can remember.
All right. Well, I'll remind you. All right. All that's ahead. It's Dean Richards on with us, Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Dean Richards. He's here to tell you about the new movies coming out this weekend. But first, Dean, I know there's a lot of movies coming out, so we don't have a whole lot of time to discuss this, but I heard you mention this earlier. James Dean has a new movie coming out.
He does. It's going to be coming out about 1 year from this week, Veterans Day of next year. It's going to be a movie about the Vietnam War. Now, James Dean passed away in 1955. He was killed in a car accident, was only 24 years old, only made a handful of movies.
Three movies, that's it.
East of Eden, Giant, and Rebel Without a Cause,
yep.
But three of the greatest and considered some of the greatest performances of all time. And what they're going to do in this new Vietnam War movie is bring him back to life digitally. Technology has advanced so much now that they're going to be able to take his likeness, put it on the body of somebody who had a similar body structure as him,
mm-hmm.
Get another actor who sounds like him to do the voice.
Lyle Dean.
Lyle Dean. Right. I was in the running for it, and then they turned right. out. Yep. Sorry, you've got Dean in the wrong place in your name. So I got kicked out.
Yep.
But they're going to bring him back to life. And I just think these things are so creepy.
Isn't it? It's very creepy.
When they bring back, what's the Star Wars movie?
Peter Cushing.
Yeah,
they did that
which
with.
I didn't even know he died, so I didn't notice that was weird.
See, well, that's, I guess, maybe that's the thing that. Really, nobody has to die in the movies anymore.
Right.
You can just continue doing their performances because they'll take his facial images
yeah.
and they digitize it. And then they're able to transfer that onto somebody else's face.
Strange process.
And replace it. And it looks just exactly, pretty much exactly like the person is still there.
So, yeah.
So James Dean's going to be back for another movie next year.
Yay.
Which is creepy, but not as creepy to me as these hologram shows
yeah.
that they tour around the country, where they bring back dead performers like Tupac and mm-hmm. Michael Jackson and
Whitney Houston.
I think they did it with Elvis at some point.
Yeah.
Where they actually do concerts and they're up there in hologram only, but come on, they're dead.
They shouldn't right. be performing right. then. Yeah.
Unless you're the Grateful Dead. Then yeah. it's okay.
Yeah, bring Jerry Garcia back.
You know,
people
when
wouldn't
I'm
even
dead,
notice.
I would like a little rest and relaxation when I'm dead. I do not want to have to continue working.
Rest in peace means you can't be in any more movies.
Right.
That's it.
Right?
You would think.
It's not keep working in peace.
No.
It's rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
So come on, give the guy a break.
Please. All right. So many new movies. Let's start out with Dr. Sleep. This is a Stephen King sequel to The Shining. Dean, what did you think?
I'm calling this the weekend of mediocrity in movies, because there are quite a few movies coming out. And I think what the studios are doing is they're trying to release all their crap before the... the actual
Christmas rush.
Yeah, the good movies come out for Thanksgiving and Christmas time. And well, the movies this week, well, one of them is complete crap, but one of them, most of them are just okay. And the Stephen King Dr. Sleep is one of them. It stars Ewan McGregor. It's 40 years later. He was the little boy, Danny Torrance, in the movie, now all grown up. He's had one heck of a life that's driven him to alcoholism. And now he is encountering this whole new slew of characters and supernatural occurrences that eventually take him back to the old Overlook Hotel from the first movie. They are relying heavily that you're going to go see this movie because you thought The Shining was one of the scariest movies of all time. And it is
mm-hmm.
one of the scariest movies of all time. This is not even remotely as scary, as compelling, as thought-provoking. It's really just an okay horror movie that's trying to glom onto the coattails of this classic. So I gave it a Dean's List C, really just for nostalgia's sake.
Dean, I read the book, and the book also paled in comparison. You had some of the same characters, but the storyline just wasn't anywhere near as strong as The Shining.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it fails on that account. They try at every turn to tie it into the original movie, and in most cases, it doesn't even make any sense that they're trying to do it, because it's sort of a completely different story. So,
all right, no good news on Dr. Sleep.
Yeah, not that big of a deal. That
makes me sad. I want to see it.
Midway? What
For
about Midway?
The Veterans Day weekend, there is this story of the historic battle between the American fleet and the Japanese Navy that took place during World War II. It is excellent with history. It's, you know, beautifully shot. Special effects are really great. In every other way, this movie is just really pedestrian and kind of just by the numbers. You've seen a million battle movies like this before. It's nothing new. It's a Dean's List C.
They made a movie called Midway about 35 or 40 years ago. It's a remake of that, right?
It's the story of this battle that took place, the famous battle that took place during World War II. So
yeah,
they've come back to it again. Oddly, James Dean is in the movie.
James Dean is in Midway.
Yeah.
Excellent news. What about Last Christmas? Boy, this looks romantic. Is it romantic?
That James Dean is also in.
He's in this one.
Oddly, I forgot to mention that he's also in the Stephen King. He's in every movie that's opening this week. I think
they're working him like crazy.
I think they are taking this digital effects thing a
way
little too far.
Way too far.
The holiday movie that's opening this first of the season is called Last Christmas. They want you to think it's super romantic. They want you to think that
it's not.
It's the next classic Christmas movie. It is definitely not. I don't even know how somebody as good as Emilia Clarke from Game of Thrones, or Henry Gould, who I also think is actually a pretty good actor. He was in Crazy Rich Asians.
Crazy, right?
I don't even want to insult Hallmark movies by saying that this is a Hallmark movie. It's the story of, you know, this young lady who is very scroogey when it comes to Christmas. She works in a Christmas shop. She has zero spirit. She meets a guy who falls in love with her and wants to turn her life into, you know, everything Norman Rockwellian and Courier and Ives. It is not funny. It is not romantic. It's not interesting. It's a whole lot of nothing. Kind of a lump of coal in your stocking here, I'm afraid. It's got a lot of George Michael music in it.
Oh.
If you like that, there's
yeah.
Of course the you know, the namesake for the movie Last Christmas is in it, but there are 11 other George Michael songs which are used as a soundtrack for this movie. That may be the greatest quality of the movie, and that's kind of a sad story. I give this one a Dean's List C also. But the worst of the bunch this week is this film that's called Playing with Fire, which is a team of firefighters, these guys that go in, like when there are wildfires in California, they're the ones that go in to try to put the fires out, to try to save people who may be in the path of where the wildfire is going. This team of elite first responders find three kids in a house that's burning. They rescue the kids. And now, you know, they're trying to find the parents. They're trying to find who these kids belong to. And in the meantime, they have to babysit these kids. Imagine the hilarity that must ensue
oh, yeah.
from something like that, where a team of macho firefighters
yep.
have to become a band of babysitters. I can't even tell you the number of times while I was watching this, I was praying that a team of firefighters would burst into the theater, put me on a stretcher, and take me out while I was watching this. It's not funny. It's about the lowest common denominator of movies that you can get. I gave it a Dean's List D.
And some very funny people in it, right?
Yeah. I think Keegan-Michael Key
oh,
is
great.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
We all have mortgages to pay is all I can say.
Yeah.
Why people like this get in. John Leguizamo, who's in Chicago right now, and I'm praying is not listening to this review at this moment. He's in the movie. John Cena is in the movie. The WWE superstar. These are the main guys, but it is it's not a funny movie at all. So,
Dean, quick question: if you're going to run a Christmas movie like Last Christmas, why wouldn't you open it during Christmas? Why would you open it a couple months prior?
Because there's so many huge movies that are going to be opening right around Christmas time. Between Thanksgiving and Christmas are when all the Oscar movies are going to come out, and a movie like Last Christmas doesn't want to compete with Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker,
right.
or Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, or Frozen 2, or the, you know, Jumanji Next Level,
yeah.
the huge movies that are going to be coming out closer to Christmas time. They get it out of the way now. They get, you know, they're hoping that they're going to get 2 or 3 weeks of decent box office with this, but I'm not even sure that that's going to happen because you know, the Joker movie is still actually doing really well at the box office. Nobody went to see Terminator last week. Maybe they will now. The Irishman, the 3.5 hour epic that is going to be opening in theaters for this weekend. So if anybody wants to go see it on a big screen, you'll be able to go see that before it goes on Netflix at the end of the year. My point being, it's going to get very, very busy toward the end of the year. I just was at the premiere of Ford versus Ferrari, the Matt Damon, Christian Bale movie. It's one of the best movies of the year.
Oh, good.
It is spectacular.
Very, very good.
I'll tell you more about that. It's going to open next week in the new Charlie's Angels movie that's going to be coming out. But we've got some huge movies that are coming the next few weeks.
Go see Dean Richards at Tree Time this Sunday. I hear that James Dean will be there. Dean, thank you so much.
Come and eat some bugs with us.
All right. Take care. Thank you.
See ya.
And coming up next, the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.